Let us read in the first chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we read at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This morning we looked at the angel Gabriel's appearance to Mary in Nazareth, in verse 28 of this same chapter. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. We saw that although these words are unique to Mary, the mother of our Lord's manhood, yet they apply to all believers in Christ, according to Ephesians 1 verse 6, that believers are accepted in the Beloved, the same as highly favoured or much graced, as was said to Mary. We too, if we're Christians, are hailed by heaven as highly favoured or much graced. 6 months earlier, the same angel appeared to Zacharias in the temple and said those words we read in verse 13. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. This is our text for this evening. These words, this annunciation to Zacharias regards one who would be our Lord's forerunner, John the Baptist. Kings have their heralds to announce their arrival, and our Lord Christ Jesus has his herald to go before him and to proclaim his coming and to prepare the way of the Lord. You notice that we have in verse 13 a fear not. Fear not, Zacharias. This is the first fear not in the New Testament. Because Luke, although the third gospel in order of Bible books, actually commences his account of Jesus' birth further back than Matthew, who begins with Joseph and the angel telling him about the one who is in Mary's womb, and further back than Mark, who begins his account with the preaching of John the Baptist in the wilderness. So, in order of time, this is the first "fear not" in the New Testament. Mary, of course, heard the same in verse 28. Hail thou art thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Not so much a "fear not" in actual words. Well, actually it is in verse 30. "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God." And there's that "fear not" to the shepherds in chapter 2, verse 14. "And the angel said unto them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy," and so on. And it tells us, dear friends, that our Lord has come to take away fear and replace it by confidence and peace. It's interesting, isn't it, that it was at the appearance of the angel that Zacharias was troubled. And you see, we are frightened by visitors from heaven. We are such that we cannot stand a visitation from someone who represents that pure and perfect and glorious world above. We naturally start and are afraid because we are not comfortable with heaven as we are in this body. It is because, of course, even the best of people are sinners, and even the Lord's people, regenerate, saved, reconciled to God, nonetheless are not ready to directly enter heaven yet. They have to be changed at their death, and neither can they receive anyone straight from heaven with composure and with peace. It goes back, of course, to the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Adam and his wife were afraid of the Lord God who was coming, and they hid themselves in the among the trees of the garden. It's guilt. It's sin against God. It's lostness to him. It's the fact that we're out of a right relationship. We're fallen and corrupt and defiled and polluted by sin. And anything that is pure and perfect and holy and sinless, drawing near, makes us startled and afraid. And dear friends, if this is the effect of one angel from heaven, what is the effect of the Lord himself from heaven? And if you're not converted, you especially could not bear the sight of an angel coming straight up to you. You would cringe, you would cower, you would want to run away. If you couldn't stand at the approach of an angel, what would you be like at the approach of the Lord himself when you stand before him on the day of judgment? It's a fearful anticipation, isn't it, of what's to come? We've got to face God. We've got to face the angels. We've got to face that glorious world and that great white throne of holiness and majesty. And well, might even a Zacharias be uncomfortable and lose his composure and be troubled at the approach of Gabriel. We need to be pardoned and changed, and we need to be right in order to feel comfortable with this. But the wonderful thing is, dear friends, the angel comes to reassure. Fear not, Zacharias. Fear not. Don't back away. Don't want to put a distance between me and you. There is the possibility of comfort and assurance. Come near, you can be comfortable. I've got good news for you. And of course, in passing, let me say that that is one reason why God has appointed human preachers to stand before us and bring the tidings of heaven and the word of God to us, because if it were angels who did this to us, we would not hear the words for being afraid of the majesty. We couldn't stand it. And so ordinary men, earthen vessels, are the transmitters of the truth and the preachers of the word, in deference to our comfort and our need. And how kind of the Lord that is. Now, although these words here in verse 13 are unique to Zacharias, like those words to Mary this morning, they are also precious in their application to us. And what is the message to us from these words brought by an angel? In two ways, they are applying to Zacharias as a believing man. And secondly, as a praying man. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Let's look first of all at these words to him as a believing man. Now remember, this is a visitor from heaven. Gabriel is a representative of that upper world. He says in verse 19 there, a bit later in the passage, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Now, what is he saying to Zacharias in these words? Well, surely he's saying that Zacharias is known about in heaven. Gabriel has come from there. And Gabriel says to him, Zacharias, he knows his name. And so it is with every believer. Every believer is known about in heaven. Every believer's name is written in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. But every believer's name is talked about in heaven and mentioned in heaven by the great high priest of our profession, who appears in the presence of God for us and presents us to the Father, and who answers to the Father on our behalf all the accusations of Satan, all the accusations of our conscience, and everything that would be flung against us to call upon God to condemn us or turn against us. But our Lord Jesus is our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he appears in the presence of God, and do you think he's silent? And Christian believer, do you think he appears in the presence of God for you and says nothing? Of course not. He says your name, and he prays for you by name. Romans 8, verse 34, he ever liveth to make intercession for us there at the right hand of God. And just like he said to Peter, Simon Peter, I have prayed for thee. So he says to every one of us, I have prayed and do pray for thee by name, Zacharias. And just as surely any other Christian by name, we're known about in heaven. And our cause, dear friends, speeds well within the veil. It's a good and comforting thing, isn't it, to know that things are all right, the other end of things, beyond the veil. All is well if you have your representative there. God is gracious only because he has appointed his Son to be the mediator and the medium of that grace. If you don't have Christ to stand up for you in heaven, you've no hope of ever going there. If you don't have Christ to answer for you, your sins will condemn you. And you will never be in heaven, but in hell. Do you see the point? Zacharias, what about your name? Is your name well known? Does Jesus confess you before the Father? Does he say, Father, forgive this dear child of thine and of mine? Does he say, Father, bless this one? Father, send the Spirit. Father, give grace. Minister to him in this world or to her in her difficult situation. And an angel might well come from heaven and say your name, because it is known there. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And you see, all is well. Fear not, Zacharias. He wants the man to know it, that all is well. Of course, God has sent him to reassure Zacharias. And the Lord wants you to know that it is well with your soul. It's as if Gabriel is saying, Zacharias, you've nothing to fear from where I come from. All is well. I've come to assure you. And you see, fear not. The great thing that would make Zacharias afraid would be the question of his guilt before God, his sin, in the sight of infinite holiness. Nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. It's as if someone comes to a debtor and says, nothing to pay. It's all been paid on your behalf. Nothing to do. It's been done. Fear not. Isn't that the gospel? Good tidings of great joy. All is well. God is reconciled to you on the ground of a sacrifice. Here, on the ground of a sacrifice that will be made when Jesus goes to the cross of Calvary. But he's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world in God's purpose. And Zacharias is included in that work of the cross, just like every other Old Testament saint is. And so are we if we believe in Jesus. Fear not. He who is our advocate is the propitiation of our sins. No condemnation, rather favour and good will. What a word for a troubled conscience. What a word for conviction of sin. What a word for lack of assurance. And what a word for Christians without comfort and not certain about how they stand before the Lord. Fear not, Zacharias. And one further truth here is this, that the angel himself knows this man's name, Zacharias, because you see, every angel knows the name of every saint, because they have a commission concerning Christians. Hebrews 1 and verse 14, ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto them who are the heirs of salvation. And do you think, therefore, that as the heavenly hosts swoop down invisibly to minister to Christians, that the Christians are unknown to these angels? Their names are not known? Of course not. This idea of a guardian angel for each individual is a figment of imagination. We've got more than one guardian angel. In Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, it says, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Hosts of angels to every separate individual believer, whom all these angels can call by name and have been sent to minister to so-and-so here, so-and-so there, and another over there. Wherever Christians are, there are the angels, the atmosphere thick with these celestial beings. You can't touch them. You can't see them. You can't even hear them. but they are invisibly present. They are here in this assembly, hovering over this company, 1 Corinthians 11 says. And they look down upon the worshippers because of the angels, it says. And wherever we go, as you go home tonight, and as you go into tomorrow, on foot or on the car or whatever, angels will accompany you and bear you up in their hands. Zacharias, until they do that last office, all the way through life until the last one. Luke 16:22. Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And they knew he was called Lazarus. They knew him by name. And they lovingly conveyed his soul as it left his body. They bore his soul to glory. And Jesus received him to glory. That poor man who in life had no comforts and no one to regard him, a beggar. And yet he was a prince, an heir of glory. Whereas the rich man who wouldn't even give him a bite to eat, when life ends for him, he goes down to hell. And from hell has to see Lazarus in heaven. And it's a solemn thought, isn't it, dear friends, that those who go to hell, who don't have a fear not in their case, but have everything to fear, their place in hell is made all the more terrible, infinitely aggravated by the fact that they see glorified saints in heaven. And what an awful thing it is to be damned and tormented and punished in everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, and in the midst of that unendurable eternal death that is never dying and is always dying, rather eternally dying but never actual death, everlasting destruction, to see the glorified and the blessed from that world, to see what you might have had, what might have been yours. Oh, what a dreadful thing. Angels bear regenerate souls to heaven and take unregenerate ones down to hell. They know their names, and your name is known. And what is the knowledge that they have of your name? Is it a Christian name? Is it the name of one who knows the Lord Jesus and loves him and trusts him and follows him? Or is your name the name of an heir of wrath and one who is going to be damned while you remain as you are? As a believing man, Zacharias' name is known even by the angels who speak it, and Gabriel speaks it here. Fear not. Well, that's one thing, a believing man, but Zacharias was also a praying man, because look, in verse 13, the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." And the fear not is particularly about what he's been praying for. It would seem, you see, that Zacharias and his wife had been praying for a child. Verse 7. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. How long had they been praying that the Lord would bless their union with a child? As part of their prayer life together, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, husband and wife, heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And they were not hindered, they prayed. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. But no child came. Not answered. All this while. Until now. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And yet the wonderful thing is, dear friends, that even though it wasn't until now that prayer was going to be answered or heard, yet their praying had obviously been acceptable until now, hadn't it? Fear not. And it's interesting that Zacharias is standing at the incense altar, which is that smaller altar in the holy place just in front of the second curtain, the second veil, before you enter the most holy place. And there was that incense altar that the priest would burn a pinch of incense on, and the smoke would go up. And it was a type and picture of the prayers of the high priest or the priests and the prayers of the people rising to a sweet savour before God. Acceptable praying. And you see, it's as if the angel is saying, "Ah, dear Zacharias, fear not, thy prayer all this time has been acceptable. It has been rising as sweet incense. The fragrance has reached the throne. Don't worry about that. All this time you've been praying, you've been heard, you've been listened to, and it's been filed away in heaven, that request for a child. Now has come the actual answering, the hearing in the form of the answering." And what a wonderful truth that is, my dear friend. If you've been praying for something, praying for some specific thing, and it hasn't been given you yet, prayer has not been answered yet, don't think it won't ever be answered. And know this, that even while you're asking, there's the fear not of assurance that your asking is very acceptable to God. And like it says in Revelation chapter 8, where there is a one who offers incense with the prayers of the saints that they go up to heaven, that's the Lord Jesus, so your prayers through Christ are sweet and fragrant to God. That's a great comfort, because if you pray every day for something and you've not still been answered, still not been answered, it's a comfort to know that God is pleased. You pray for the conversion of someone. You pray for the provision of something. You pray that God will intervene and change something. You pray more widely for things and nothing happens. Ah, this is happening. God is pleased with you for praying in the first place. And what you do is very acceptable. Fear not. Angels will tell you it's the same. Go on praying. Your very praying is pleasing to God. Quite apart from the answer that is going to come or will come in another way at another time. Fear not. What a thing that is. You pray for the conversion of that son or daughter. And oh, it's hard to pray. And you think you're getting nowhere. You're getting very far. Your prayer is reaching the throne and the ear of God. And it's coming up as a sweet savour to him. And it has the smile and approval of heaven. Fear not. And whatever else it is that's burdening you and that you're asking for, fear not. Keep on going. And another thing is this, you see. As a praying man, he kept to his duties faithfully, even when no answer came. You'll notice, won't you, in verse 6, they both were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And verse 8, he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, There was no sense in which he reasoned, God isn't answering my prayers, and so slacken off in duty, draw back a bit in faithfulness, or hurry over the daily course of duties as a servant of God. If God is not listening to me and hearing and answering my prayers, why should I be so diligent and so faithful to him? Now, no real Christian would ever think that, but any real Christian might do that subtly without really realizing it. And my dear friend, be very, very careful. Because God has not given you what you want, or because God maybe has done differently from what you would have liked, you feel tempted to be piqued and resentful, and you feel perhaps that he's treated you unfairly, you feel hard done by, and what happens? Ah, duty slacks. Not so keen now to abide by God's word as you once were. Not so zealous now to seek first the kingdom, perhaps. Not now to put the Lord first as you once did. But here one thing goes and another thing slips and another thing gets relaxed, and you're not the Christian you were, and you know it. Compared with what you were like, say, 3-5 years ago, you're not the Christian you were. And why? Because you're not reconciled to God. Because something has happened and you in your heart resent God concerning it. And this is how you're going to treat him. Not in so many words as you think or would say, and you won't even be perhaps so conscious of it as that, but in a subtle kind of way, that's been your reaction. There was nothing like this with Zacharias. Years went by, and they were getting older, and still no baby. But never mind. What does it matter concerning the fact that God is still worthy of being loved with my whole being, and served with every ransomed power I have, and still I will keep to it, and stick fast, and still I will honour him, choose what, because I never was in it for what I could get out of it. I did not love God and follow him fully just because of what he gave to me. I did it for his own sake, because he's worthy, and I will still be like that. Can you say that? Fear not, Zacharias, bless you. God has given you grace to be faithful, even when you may have been tempted to resent and not be reconciled to God over his dealings. Oh, my dear friend, be so careful. Be so careful about this. Matthew Henry said, though we have not received desired mercies, yet we must keep close to enjoined duties. And while he did, the news came through. Thy prayer is heard, you see. You never know when. Don't treat God in this way. Be reconciled. Be just as you have always been for his own dear and worthy sake. And God will honour you. And you never know when you might hear, fear not, my prayer is heard. And the answer has come. It is much more likely to be while we remain faithful and keep to our way faithfully. Much more likely to be that than when we are backslidden, or when we are walking at a distance, or when we have let things go because we've said in our hearts, it's vain to serve the Lord. And what profit is it that I have walked closely with him in fear and in the narrow way? You see what an example Zacharias is, and Elizabeth too, that they were still righteous, still walking in the commandments and ordinances, still in his place, in his course serving God in the temple. Oh, repent of any lack of submission and patience and acknowledging him. And may God heal your backsliding and put you right and put you back again, that you might be in that place where you can hear the wonderful news one day that God is going to answer your prayer. Another thing is this, as a praying man, that sometimes answers are delayed. This is obvious, isn't it? Long years had gone by. When they were first married, they hoped to hear the sound of tiny feet. When they were newly wed and still young, a man and a woman, they were hoping that God would bless them with this precious gift, the fruit of the womb. And a few years went by, and well, it can take a while, can't it? But in its own time, but no, year after year after year after year. And it was found, in fact, that Elizabeth couldn't have children at all. And now they'd grown too old for that anyway. Years and no blessing. And sometimes in the things we ask for, the time does go by. How many years have you been asking God for the same thing? And nothing happening, and it seems even as if it's getting worse. Certainly no sign on the horizon that anything is coming. But God does delay answers to prayer. Often the bigger things, God takes the longest over. Not because he needs to take longer, but because the smaller things are more urgent usually. The day-to-day things God gives us almost at once or daily. But these big things can be long in coming. But they test our faith and exercise our perseverance. If we received an immediate answer to every prayer, how could we learn anything about God's sovereignty and about the will of God and about his dealings and about the fact that we sometimes need to be changed before God gives us the great thing that we ask? It's not an automatic penny in the slot, pull out your bar of chocolate from the machine kind of thing is praying. That old hackneyed saying, prayer changes things. It's hardly biblical. It does change things. God changes things in answer to prayer. But prayer is designed to change us just as much. Someone has put it like this. Unanswered yet? Nay, do not say ungranted. Perhaps your part is not yet wholly done. The work began when first your prayer was uttered, and God will finish what he has begun. Though years have passed since then, do not despair. His glory you shall see sometime, somewhere. One of the Puritans has said, delay of answer must not discourage our faith. It may be God has long granted before we shall know of his grant. He might have said yes at the beginning and has been hearing us ever since. But the answer comes at the set time. Delays are not necessarily denials. He has heard and does hear. Sometimes when someone is applying for a job, they send their letter and their CV and things, and then they don't hear back, and they get a bit troubled, and maybe in certain circumstances they feel it's right to telephone the personnel manager or something like that. Did you get my communication? And the personnel manager says, oh yes, I've got your communication, it's on my desk in front of me. Ah, that's all right. And so that's a great comfort. And it could be that God is saying, I have heard you, I hear you, Your prayer has come up before me. It is recorded. It's a memorial before me in heaven. I am listening before ever the answer comes. As a praying man. And dear friends, one last thing is this. It could just be that this prayer referred to by Gabriel is not in fact Zacharias's and Elizabeth's request for a son. Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. But it could be, you see, that they had given up praying for a son for themselves. And that Zacharias had, in the course of his priestly duties and in his private prayers with his wife, been praying instead for what we read elsewhere in Luke, for the redemption in Israel, praying for the Messiah. And there were those at this time who were looking for redemption in Israel, weren't they? They were waiting for the consolation of Israel. There was a heightened sense of expectation in Jerusalem and round about that the coming of the Messiah was near. And maybe Zacharias with his wife were praying for the Messiah, forgetting about their sorrow and what they longed for personally, and sinking that in the cause of God, the cause of the church, the purposes of God to be fulfilled. Now, if that is the case, isn't it a beautiful thing that as they did that, God gave them both. God gave them John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the Messiah, and a son for them personally. It could be that. And if that was the case, it teaches us this lesson, dear friends. God's glory and our good are intertwined. And if you are content to lose your own concerns in an overwhelming desire that God should be glorified, pray thy kingdom come. Pray for the furtherance of the gospel. Pray for the blessing of the church, the blessing of the Lord's people. Praying for the overthrow of his enemies and the glory of his name. God will remember you in your personal matters in that. And his glory and your good will be one and the same. He will include your personal good in the wider thing you ask for. So either way, what a kind and wise and loving and blessed answer this was to Zacharias as a praying man. Now, do you know what it is to be a believing man? Believing woman, a believing young person? Do you know what it is to be a praying individual? If you believe in Christ as your Savior, you will pray. If you can really pray, it means you believe on the Lord Jesus. Faith and prayer go together, don't they? If you ask me what are the two most choice and blessed things God could ever give us, it is a praying heart. It is a believing heart, rather. And a praying heart. Do you have these two things? You're rich. Angels would come from heaven and tell you so. Fear not. Good news, you're blessed. You believe these things are yours. Heaven is toward you. The benediction of the upper world rests upon you. And your prayers are being heard. May it be so. And may God be glorified. Amen. Let us sing together hymn 388.